podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. There are a few new and updated reviews for dementia in this issue of the Cochrane Library. Bridget Candy, a senior research fellow based in London, England, tells us about the review she has worked on of enteral feeding for people who are having problems eating.
People with advanced dementia often need help with eating to ensure that they get enough of the right types of food. One way to do this is with an enteral tube delivering nutrition straight into their stomach or small intestine. This is not uncommon. In the United States, in a survey, about a third of 180,000 nursing home patients with advanced dementia or advanced cognitive impairment from other causes had a feeding tube. The decision to use artificial feeding can be emotive and complex. Common justifications include correcting malnutrition, reducing the risk of pressure ulcers, or reducing the risk that the food will end up in the lungs, and to improve physical comfort. Relatives may ask for enteral feeding because they are worried that the patient may starve. Clinicians, even though they may be aware of potential risks, might feel pressurized by institutional, societal, or even legal directives to intervene. Tube feeding risks include the worsening of a patient's incontinence. The tube may cause agitation and the patient might need to be restrained to avoid it being pulled out. Putting the feeding tube in place requires a procedure such as a percutaneous endoscopic gastrectomy, commonly referred to as PEG, and this carries significant risks, including pneumonia, perforation of the esophagus, and wound infection. It is important, therefore, to know the balance of benefits and harms of enteral feeding. We did this review to find out by evaluating outcomes for older people with advanced dementia. And we found that despite tube feeding being common, there is little evidence that it is beneficial. We included studies of feeding via a nasogastric tube or a PEG. The studies had to have recruited people over the age of 50 with poor nutritional intake or problems with eating, where the majority have primary degenerative dementia with advanced cognitive impairment. We had hoped to include controlled comparative analysis studies, but did not find any suitable. Instead, we had to rely on observational studies that had used a control group. There were 7 such studies, 6 of which evaluated mortality. None of these found a clear association between tube feeding and longer or shorter survival. Results for outcomes relating to nutrition and pressure ulcers were mixed. None of the studies evaluated quality of life, behavioural or psychiatric symptoms, pain or discomfort. One study reported that 71% of the 52 patients needed to be physically restrained to prevent the tube being pulled out. 2 reported adverse events. In 1, more than half the tube fed patients had aspiration pneumonia, compared to 17% of those fed orally. In the other study, one patient who had a PEG inserted developed an intra-abdominal abscess which led to sepsis and death. There are limitations to these review findings. We were not able to use randomized trials or any other controlled comparative analysis. The intervention and control groups in the observational studies were not well matched, or we were not able to make judgments about this because of insufficient information in the studies. Most of the studies also contained limited detail on how advanced dementia had been diagnosed. We hope this review will help people make informed decisions about the feeding of elderly patients with advanced dementia. Ideally, people with dementia would decide about their future care in the early stages of their disease. But this is not always possible, and the emotive ethical issues involved in artificial feeding make this an important public health issue. Future research needs to resolve the uncertainties and overcome the lack of reliable evidence we have highlighted. Randomized trials would be ethically challenging. Research funders should support well-designed prospective large data collection projects. These need to include good matching of patients in the control and intervention groups, and, as well as investigating nutritional status and survival, they should collect information on quality of life.
You can read this Cochrane review of the best evidence currently available at www.cochrane.org. www.cochrane-library.org.